Welcome, everyone. It's good to be in the house of God another time. David in a psalm says, I was glad when they said to me, come, let's go to the house of the Lord. And he went on to say, better is one day in your courts, Lord, than a thousand somewhere else. And that's what I believe today, that one day in the courts of the Lord is better than a thousand somewhere else, because in God's presence there's fullness of joy. And we receive wisdom, knowledge, revelation from God. So today we're going to continue in our series, The Kingdom of God. And the past couple of weeks we've been looking at various aspects of the kingdom. This week it's about looking, I'm going to just do an overview about the kingdom, the past, present, and future kingdom. And over the next few weeks we'll be looking at more detailed aspects about the kingdom. So I just want to at the end of this message, I want you to fully understand that God has you. He's got it in control, and that he is not out of control. No matter what is happening, we need to have that confident assurance in our God that he's got it, and that his purposes will come to pass regardless, because he's already declared the end from the beginning. And the powerful thing about the church is that we have revelation, and revelation gives the church a unique advantage over every other government or institution in the earth today. Let me say that again. Revelation gives the church a unique advantage over every other government or institution in the world, because we hear from God. We're a people that live in the prophetic era where God speaks to his church, and God has told us in his word thousands and thousands of years ago what will come to pass. And nobody else can do that. God confidently tells us this is what's going to happen. And he says that as my word goes forth, it shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish everything that I've sent it forth to do. So just like the rain falls and the snow and it waters the earth and the seed comes up and plants grow, that's what God's word is like. It can never, it's impossible for it to return to him void. It will accomplish everything he has sent it forth to do. Amen. So we can be confident of that. So this is just a quick overview of the past, present, and future. So the first scripture is Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, that says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. So God declares the end from the beginning. So at the beginning, he says to us, this is how it's going to end. Things that have not yet been done. The NLT version says, only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. And that's the God that we serve. We can be fully confident in everything that he says. And we're talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom past, how God has, the invisible kingdoms we've talked about, the two invisible kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And we've talked about this natural earthly kingdom that is visible, that we're living in now. But we are looking at a future kingdom that will be set up by God himself. It will be a natural visible kingdom that we can see, but it will be where the Spirit of God is dwelling with us. So I want to use really as an example to show how God's kingdom is over every kingdom by using an Old Testament scripture, which is one that I love, one of my favorites, and it's in the book of Daniel. And for those of you that are familiar, Daniel was an Israelite who was living in captivity in Babylon. That Babylon had invaded Israel and had taken captive these young men, and he wanted some of the most, best, with the best minds and intellect guys that could learn. So they had to learn the ways of Babylon. They had to learn the language. They had to learn the culture. They had to learn everything in order to function in that nation. And Daniel and he had three friends. We call it Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were also young men with wisdom and, you know, God's blessing on their life. And when they went into Babylon, they were trained specifically for a purpose, to serve the king. And we know from the very outset when they arrived in Babylon that the king decided what they needed to eat and drink. Remember last week I said in the power that kings have, they decided, you guys got to eat this food. You're going to be serving me, so I want you to have the choice, the best of everything. But Daniel and his friend said, can we try something different? We're of a different kingdom and we have a different diet. So can we just have some vegetables and water? And that will be just fine for us. And the guy that was taking care of them said, you must be crazy. If anything happens to you guys and you guys look malnutrition, the king is going to have our heads. But they said, okay, just give us 10 days, was it? Just give us a little time and we will see. And after the period of time, Daniel and his friends looked healthier and more nourished than all the others that were eating the king's food. So we know that they were operating under a different kingdom. So where I want to really focus on today is the king. We talked about kings over the past few weeks and the power that they have. And I want to show you the power that this particular king had and how the kingdom of God intervened and was able to show him that there was a greater king above all. So Nebuchadnezzar was a king of Babylon at the time, and he had a disturbing dream. He had a dream that really disturbed him. He couldn't sleep after that, and he was distressed. So he ended up calling his men to try and interpret the dream. But what I want to say first of all, that dream came from God. He was a heathen. He didn't know God, but God gave him a dream. And that goes to show that God is not limited to anything. He can speak to whoever he wants to speak. And he decided to speak to this powerful Babylonian king through a dream. And he called his magicians, his enchanters, his sorcerers, his astrologers, his judgerman, im obiaman, im clever. He called them all. He called them all. Now, this was a dream from God, but he called on these people from the kingdom of darkness. There's a dream from the kingdom of light, and he calls on these guys from the kingdom of darkness to interpret his dream. Now, he demanded that they tell him what he dreamt and the interpretation. Can you imagine that? Tell them, not just tell them, this is my dream, interpret it. He said, no, tell me what I dreamt. Tell me what I dreamt. We're going to pick up the story later in a sec. Now, we know that God speaks through dreams because he spoke to Pharaoh, didn't he, in a dream as well. And we know that he needed one of the men of God, Joseph, to interpret the dream for him. And we know that these kings always had these advisors around them. You notice they had advisors, they had these guys that were going to tell them what was to come, so they thought. And if you notice, even today, our leaders, they do have advisors, don't they? They do have advisors. They have different ministers around them. The Bible days leaders had prophets, that the men of God, the kings had prophets that would advise them. And the ones that were the worldly ones had these different soothsayers and magicians. I was wondering this week if our government uses these enchanters. Because some of the stuff that's coming out through the news, I'm thinking that ain't from God. That's not from God. So, but time will tell, hey? And we notice as well, when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and God said to Moses, throw down your staff. And Moses' staff became a serpent, didn't it? But what did Pharaoh's guys do? They did exactly the same thing. So we could see there were two kingdoms in operation all times. Kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. But the difference with Moses' snake is that it swallowed up Pharaoh's magician snake. So therefore we could see the power that is in God's kingdom. But there's always a counterfeit. Whatever God's doing, there's always a counterfeit. And we need to be aware of that. And part of this teaching is for us to acknowledge that there is two invisible kingdoms at work at all times, contending for the mind and heart of men. That's what they're doing, contending for the heart of men. So the astrologers addressed the king and said to him, look, tell us your dream, king, and we will definitely tell you the meaning of this dream. But the king would not be persuaded to tell them his dream. So the astrologers knew they were in trouble, because those kind of kings, when they don't get their way, it's off with your head. It is off with your head. In fact, he said that he was going to pull them apart limb by limb if they didn't tell him his dream. And when I think of the power that these kings had, no human being should have that much power. No human being should be able to have that much power. And that was never God's intention, because the kings that God gave were kings that would be serving the people. Kings are there to serve the people, not themselves. But God did warn Israel when they said, we want a king like the other nations. He said to them, if you get a king, they're going to send your kids to war. They're going to tax you. They're going to do all this stuff to you. They're going to make your life hell. But they said, yes, but we still want a king. We want a king like all the other nations, regardless of what God said that a king was going to do. Because God as a king was there for their benefit. But the kings of the earth were there for themselves. And we can see that through Nebuchadnezzar here, that he felt that because they couldn't do what he wanted, he would take their life. So let's pick up the scripture in Daniel chapter 2, and let's read from verse 4.
On the screen.
Yeah. Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, long live the king, tell us the dream, and we will tell you what it means. But the king said to the astrologers, I'm serious about this. If you don't tell me what my dream was and what it means, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. But if you tell me what I dreamed and what the dream means, I will give you many wonderful gifts and honors. Just tell me the dream and what it means. They said again, please, your majesty, tell us the dream and we will tell you what it means. The king replied, I know what you are doing. You're stalling for time because you know I'm serious when I say, if you don't tell me the dream, you are doomed. So you have conspired to tell me lies, hoping I will change my mind. But tell me the dream, and then I'll know that you can tell me what it means. So these guys were in serious trouble now. The astrologers replied to the king, no one on earth can tell the king his dream. And no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, or astrologer. The king's demand is impossible. No one except the gods can tell you your dream, and they do not live here among people. He didn't know the right God. The king was furious when he heard this, and he ordered that all the wise men of Babylon be executed. And because of the king's decree, men were sent to find and kill Daniel and his friends. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. He asked Arioch, "Why has the king issued such a harsh decree?" So Arioch told him all that had happened. Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time to tell the king what the dream meant. When Daniel went home and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah what had happened, that was their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we know them by, he urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. He said, "Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in the darkness, though he is surrounded by light." So we can see that Daniel and his friends, they pray and say, "God, please reveal to us this secret thing that only you know, because you are the only true God. You are the only one that can tell us what this king dreamt, because you gave him the dream. And you can tell us what the interpretation is." And the three of them prayed. And that night God answered, spoke to Daniel and revealed everything to him. You see, when we're in touch with the kingdom of God, God is able to reveal to us his secrets. The Bible said the Lord does nothing except he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. And everything that we know now is because God revealed it to the prophets, and we read the law and the prophets, so we understand. So we're living in this world now, but we are a prophetic people. The church is a prophetic community. We don't just go by what we hear. We just don't read the newspapers, listen to the news. We hear from the Spirit what God is saying and what God is doing. Just like Daniel and these guys, they were in Babylon, they were in exile, they were outside of their comfort zone, but they made sure that they stayed connected with their king so that they could hear from heaven what needed to be done. And as a people today, our mandate is the same. We don't hear what the world hears. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's what the Word of God tells us. So Daniel went in to see Arioch, whom the king had ordered to execute the wise men of Babylon. And Arioch quickly took Daniel to the king. So we're going to pick this up in verse 26. The king said to Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, "Is it true? Can you tell me what my dream was and what it means?" Thing is, he was so desperate at this time because he was really, really troubled. He knew that there was something significant about this dream, but he just couldn't work it out. So he was pretty desperate now. Daniel replied, "There are no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he has shown the king Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now I will tell you your dream and the vision you saw as you lay on your bed." And then Daniel goes on to tell him, "While your majesty was sleeping, you dreamed about coming events. He who reveals secrets has shown you what is going to happen." So can you imagine this heathen king that God speaks to him and shows him his plan? He shows him his whole plan from his time right until the second coming of Christ. He shows him the full picture. And you think, but he's a heathen king. But the thing is, we all belong to God. It doesn't matter. God is always speaking. God is always speaking. He speaks to us in our dreams. Even some of you dream, but you dismiss them. But you need to write your dreams down. I write down all my dreams. I do. If I feel that they're significant, not the ones that, you know, that you ate a bit of cheese and crackers before you went to bed, not them ones, but you know the ones where it kind of, this one feels significant, you know, and something is speaking to something in you. I write them down. And I've had dreams that have actually happened exactly how I saw it. Exactly how I saw it. I remember many years ago, I dreamt in the night about going on a trip and going somewhere and certain things happen. And the next day, it was when I was on my way there. You know, when you get this kind of deja vu, it's like, didn't I dream this last night that I was going to this place? And I kid you not, brethren, every single thing that I saw in the dream happened exactly the same thing by the end of the day. So I know that God does speak and he is able to show these things. But also I grew up in quite a prophetic home. My mum was a prophet. So she would often dream and tell us things exactly as it would. And she would often tell the pastor as well. And there's prophets at different levels. Some people dreams are for themselves or for their families. Some are for their church or their communities. And some prophets are called to the nation. So there's different levels that God will speak to us. So in my mom's case, it was family, friends, and the church. So she was like a key person in our church. So God speaks to all of us in different ways. The only thing is, are we listening? Are we able to tune in to hear what God is actually saying? So Daniel then explains the king's dream to him, and he tells him that when you went to sleep, you had a dream, and you saw an enormous statue, enormous, towering high, and it was quite a frightening sight because it was so big. And you saw a head of gold. The statue had a head of gold. It had like breast and arms of iron, of silver, sorry. It had like belly and thigh, the skirt area of brass. It had legs of iron, and its feet were a mixture of iron and clay. And as you looked, you saw a huge stone that was cut out of a mountain, but without human hands. And that stone hit and smashed the feet of the image and all the other kingdoms above it, the other parts of the body crumbled and were blown away with the wind. He said, but that stone that hit the feet grew into a massive mountain and it filled the whole earth. That was what the king dreamt. And the king acknowledged and accepted, yes, that's exactly what I dreamt. Now, let me just explain to you a little bit about what that meant. Daniel explained to him that he, King Nebuchadnezzar, was the head of gold, that he was a very powerful king and that there was nobody on the planet as powerful as him. But he said that after him would come a slightly more inferior kingdom, and that was the kingdom of silver, which was a Medo-Persia kingdom, which reigned for about 208 years. Then after the Medo-Persian kingdom, another kingdom would come, which is a Greek kingdom that reigned for about 63 years. Then after that kingdom, you had the Roman Empire kingdom that reigned for over 600 years. And then the feet started in about 476 AD. Now, could you imagine the king seeing all this? It meant nothing to him because he didn't know, because everybody in their time feels that this is it. He probably felt that this is it. There's nothing after me. I am the great King Nebuchadnezzar. Not knowing that there were so many other kingdoms that would be following after him. Now that was over 2,700 years ago that this vision was given to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he explained that during the reign of the kings, which is the part iron and clay, the feet of the image, that stone would smash the image on its feet and set up a kingdom of his own. So let's read from verse 44, where it says, during the reign of those kings of the 10 toes and the feet, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness and will stand forever. And verse 45 says, this is the meaning of the rock cut out from the mountains, though not by human hands, that crushed to pieces the statue of iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold. The great God was showing the king what will happen in the future. And this is a bit that really comes home to me. The dream is true and its meaning is certain. The dream is true and its meaning is certain. So we can be assured that everything that was seen in that vision of Nebuchadnezzar will come to pass. So now that we have history on our side, we can look in our history books and see that Babylon, after Babylon reigned, there was Medo-Persia kingdom that came. And we know that after that, the Greek kingdom came and reigned, because we know about Alexander the Great and all of that. That was a fact. And we know that the Roman Empire came as well, because that was the time that Jesus was born in, because the Romans were the ones that were around. And now we are in the toes and the feet, because we don't have one king anymore. We have loads of different nations, don't we, trying to work together. But as it said, because iron and clay can't mix, there's not going to be any real agreement. There's never going to be any agreement. They're going to be pulling apart. You're going to have the Brexit. You're going to have all kinds of things that are happening because iron and clay cannot mix. You're going to have some strong kingdoms. You're going to have some weak kingdom. So are we confident now that we are right in the feet, the toes? Everybody believes that? Is it quite obvious? Right. So when we talk about we're in the last days, we are in the last days. And we can see how true that meaning and what that dream is. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was in awe of Daniel. He was in complete awe. The Bible says that he actually bowed down and began to worship Daniel after he told him the dream, because he realized that Daniel was in connection with a God that he knew nothing about. He was in touch with a kingdom that was giving Daniel messages that he could not give to the sorcerers and the Juju man and the Obeah man them, because they're of a different kingdom altogether. And some, you know, people, even in our days, we know, still consult these people. But I hope that nobody in the kingdom, the church, would go to consult these people, because they're not of God and the word of God forbids it. Only God truly knows our future. Yes, these people tap in and they can tell certain things that you think, oh, that's true and that's true. But only God himself knows the future, and God has set the future. So the people of God do not go to consult these other spirits from the dark world. So Daniel was dealing with a superior kingdom. As powerful as Babylon was, there was a superior kingdom reigned by a superior God who was able to intervene into his life. And if we know the story of Daniel, which some of you know that later on a different king, Daniel, ends up in the lion's den. But as a kingdom citizen, God sent someone to deliver him from the lion's den. So verse 48 says, then the king appointed Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts and made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon, as well as chief over all his wise men. So Daniel now was set up as the chief over all the king's affairs, because Daniel had a superior spirit that he was working with. And as the people of God, we can be fully confident that God's throne, God's kingdom, will reign over all the other kingdoms. The United Kingdom was great, Great Britain, but we know that God, in his greatness, rules over all the kingdoms. The Word of God tells us that every kingdom that has been and will come will be destroyed, and that God's kingdom will be set up on the earth. That stone, Jesus is often described as a stone, isn't it? That rock. He's described as a rock. Last week I talked about he's a rock of offense. Even his name is, you know, he's been described as this chief cornerstone. And from Old Testament, we've got a hint that who this rock is. He was in the old time. So we're talking about the past, kingdom, present, and future. He's always been that rock. And the Old Testament has shown us what this rock will do when he comes. And what it speaks about is his second coming, when he will set up his kingdom that will fill the earth, and his kingdom will never be destroyed. So as God's people, we can be confident that we are in God's kingdom, we are part of God's kingdom, and that his kingdom will reign forever and ever. So let me just give you a few facts about the kingdom to wrap up. It is ruled by God from his throne in heaven. Psalm 103 says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." Just like how he ruled over Babylon, he still rules over all. You know, from time past, God's invisible kingdom has always ruled over the kingdoms of men. The second fact is that it is ruled by a king who is unchanging. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the current invisible kingdom that we are part of is ruled by Christ, the unchanging King of Kings. Another fact, the kingdom of God cannot be moved, shaken, or destroyed. The scripture says in Hebrews 12, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe." Nothing or no one can stop the kingdom of God. Nothing or no one can stop the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what is going on in the world. It doesn't matter what they're planning. It doesn't matter what they're plotting. Nothing or no one can stop the advance of the kingdom of God. And let us be confident in that. Another fact about the kingdom is the kingdom was prepared since the beginning. Matthew 25:34 says, "Then shall the king say to them on his right hand," which is the future kingdom, the physical kingdom, visible kingdom that we'll see at this point, "then shall the king say to them on his right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world.'" So God's plan has always been that we would inherit the kingdom. So the visible kingdom, which is to come, was God's eternal plan from the beginning of time. And he showed that even to Nebuchadnezzar, a heathen king. He showed him that his eternal kingdom would stand forever. So as a body of Christ, as we continue to study, as we continue to really learn about the kingdom of God, I pray that we will truly just absorb, receive and absorb, and ask God to show us, to open our minds and our heart to the things of the Spirit that he really wants to show us. Because I think that there are greater things to come. Greater things are yet to be done. As we yield to God and as we prepare our hearts and as we just take that confidence in him, confidence in his word, confidence in his promises, confident in all that he said he will do, that it will come to pass. We can be sure of that, that God's word cannot return to him void. So as a church, let us be strong. Let us be faithful to the things of God. Let us put God first. Let us give, you know, God, our time, our energies, and let our faith continue to grow in him as we serve him from day to day. Let's bow our heads. Father.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next.